Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Here we are, folks, week 14. It's playoff time. I hope you're in it in your fantasy leagues. If you're not,
probably not listening, but I don't want to talk about that. Let's talk about the positive. Let's accentuate the positive. It's week 14. I'm Mike Blewett, your host for Fantasy Sports Today. It's the game day edition, and I'm joined by my two compadres, Scott Engel and Jim Day, who we'll get to in a moment. Obviously, we kicked it off on Thursday night with an all-timer performance. The interesting thing about it, Scotty, and this is Scott Engel. You can find him on Twitter at Scott E. RotoX. He is an FSWA Hall of Famer and the Managing Director of Roto Experts. We'll be using his rankings today in order to go through position by position, who to start, who to sit, and any other relevant information. But the interesting thing, Scott, is it's rare. It's unlikely that a lot of people played him. There's obviously a few eggs out there, and we've seen screenshots to that end. But the reality is Derrick Henry has an all-timer performance, and he's probably on most people's benches, if not on the waiver wire.
Yeah, good morning, Mike. Good morning, Jim. And just played over 17% in Yahoo Sports Leagues. So, you know, there was somebody saying to me on Twitter, oh, if you had Henry, you likely didn't make the playoffs. That's not true. You know, with some of these injuries, maybe somebody had to pop Derrick Henry in there out of desperation. I think the other point, too, is you can't assume anything. You know, I've even seen on RotoWorld said, well, congratulations, if you started Henry, you advanced to the semifinals. Look, you know, even the guys, he had a historic game. You really can't assume anything. Now, I'm not saying that the odds aren't against you winning if odds aren't against you losing if you played against Henry, or that you're likely to lose if you have Henry. But I don't think there's a 100% chance that you've won or lost your fantasy game based on one player when you could have Saquon Barkley maybe on the other side today, and he could explode for like 35 or 40 points. Yeah. So, look, while it doesn't look good, I don't think we can assume anything either.
There was a screenshot, Jim, that I saw on Twitter. J.J. Zacharias, and who many of you may know from FanDuel and NumberFire, he and I were going back and forth on Twitter a little bit because he asked people for screenshots of Derrick Henry fails, so to speak, for lack of a better term. And one guy sent a screenshot of Derrick Henry and DeeDee Westbrook played against him. So he is 66 points in the hole, and his number one wide receiver is Odell Beckham. So clearly that guy is up a creek without a paddle. But first, I'd like to say hello to you, and good morning, Jim. You can find him on Twitter, at Fantasy Taz. It's T-A-Z. So a historic night for Derrick Henry.
Yeah, it was a crazy week this week, no doubt. Already off to craziness with that Thursday night game. Come on, how many? I don't know why everybody was sitting him. Couldn't you tell that he was going to have more rushing yards against a tough Jacksonville defense on Thursday night football than he had in his last six games combined?
Yeah.
Let's not even get into the fact that he doubled the rushing team touchdowns that Jacksonville has allowed in 12 games previously in one game. We all saw that coming.
He's 17 of 238.
Yeah, that Jacksonville defense looked really tough. Yeah.
He's 17 of 238 with four touchdowns. His 99-yard touchdown run ties Tony Dorsett's for the longest in NFL history. Can't get any longer. And it is the 10th time since 1950 that a running back has rushed for 200 yards and four touchdowns, Jim. And he did it on the least amount of carries.
Yes, 17 carries. Look, I don't know. I keep saying this, been saying this all since it happened. It looked like, you know, the Wile E. Coyote strapped a rocket on, Acme rocket on the back type of game for him. All of a sudden, this kid just came alive and went off. There was no seeing this coming. Luckily, I ended up having to start him in two leagues where I had Hunt and Connor. And didn't really have a choice. It wasn't like saw this coming. Didn't have a choice.
Sometimes it just works out.
And got lucky.
Yeah. Sometimes it just works out like that. So I think the last league that I had Derrick Henry in, I had waived him. I didn't think he was automatically cuttable, only because of the craziness we see at running back. But there really was no path to him starting unless you were in Jim's scenario where you'd lost some other guys and there was sort of nobody left. The only other player of note in this game from a fantasy perspective was D.D. Westbrook that I mentioned earlier. He goes 7 for 88 and a touchdown. Taywan Taylor from the Titans caught six passes for 59 yards, but as somebody that owns him in some pretty deep leagues, he's been injured for a lot of the year and ineffective. Neither team threw the ball. The Titans didn't have to throw the ball that much for obvious reasons. They were up 16-2 at halftime, 30-9 at the end of the third. They just kind of ran the clock out after that. Cody Kessler, 25 of 43 for 240. Fournette, nothing. But Westbrook gives you a little bit of life there. The last thing I'll ask, Scott, before we turn up the page is this Jags defense, as Jim mentioned, did have this big reputation. They were still effective in some ways. Them losing game has been a lot of the offense being ineffective, but they just look tired. I mean, maybe it was a Thursday night game. Maybe it's that they're 13 games in and their offense can't keep them off the field, but they look beat in general.
Yeah, we were traveling on a short week with some of the speculation and just, you know, they didn't want to tackle Derrick Henry. I looked at Jalen Ramsey on one of those last touchdown runs from Derrick Henry, and he actually faked it. Like, he ran, and then he dove out of bounds. Like, You know, it's just like these guys didn't want to tackle. It's like they didn't come to play after shutting out Andrew Luck the previous week. You know, if you talk to somebody like Marshall Faulk this morning, you know, did the teams really quit? But they didn't play with any emotion. You figure teams don't quit because guys are still playing for jobs, etc. But Jalen Ramsey doesn't have to play for a job, so maybe the effort isn't there. So sometimes you have to question the effort. But they just got blown off the defensive line got blown off the ball. And you know, Derrick Henry, every once in a while he looks a little bit Marshawn Lynch like. You know, maybe they need to feed him more to get him into a rhythm.
Yeah. You know, the only other team that I've seen put up a really poor effort like that defensively this year was the Raiders.
Yeah.
In that game against the Niners, I believe, where they just didn't really want to tackle anybody.
Thursday night game.
Yeah, I can't. Maybe I'm getting the game wrong. I think that was the Nick Mullins.
No, you got the right
Nick Mullins Niners right game. Yeah. So
they've done it on Sunday too, though.
That's so true. Absolutely. All right.
But then
so
they go out and play Kansas City strong last week.
Yeah, really
that's
weird.
It's a rivalry.
Yeah, it's just weird that they were able to put up that many points, though, after not being able to do that for weeks and weeks. So, all right, it is week 14. It is your fantasy playoffs. Speaking of play, by the way, for those of you listening to us on Fantasy Sports Radio, we appreciate it. If you're on TuneIn and iHeart, great. Armed Forces Radio Network as well. So thank you for that. We'll be here until 10 o'clock, and we'll be going. And hit us up on Twitter if you have any questions. So at FNTSY Radio, I'm at Mike Blewett. Scott is Scott E. at Scott E. Roto X, and Jim is at Fantasy Taz TAZ. So NFL playoff scenarios are upon us as well, Jim. The Rams have already clinched the NFC West divisional title, and the Saints are going for the NFC South divisional title today. So what the Rams have going on against Chicago is still pretty important. They get a first round bye if they win today.
The Rams do?
Yeah. They clinch a first round bye with a win today, because it would cap
Chicago. Oh, a first round bye. Okay, yes. Okay. Yeah, for some reason I was thinking
the home field advantage.
Nope, not yet. Yeah, obviously thinking, the Saints are too close. Okay. So they'd clinch a first round bye, and the Saints would clinch the divisional title.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
Beyond that, on the AFC side of thing, the Chiefs clinch a playoff berth with a win or a tie. There's a few other scenarios where they can get it as well. The Pats clinch the AFC East divisional title with a win, because they will they're up against Miami today. Houston actually clinches the AFC South divisional title, Scott, if they beat the Colts today, and they're on a 9-game win streak.
Yeah, it's the longest winning streak of any team that's ever started 0-3. And on the Roto Experts in the Morning, I predicted them to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. And after 3 weeks, I was like, "Oh, where goes that? I'm wrong." I guess I'm wrong again. You know, because it's amazing when you talk, people make their Super Bowl predictions this time of the year. Nobody's including the Texans.
I agree. They're still not. They're still non-believers. I'm probably one of them, but I concede that they're playing a winning brand of football right now, and I trust the QB. I trust the defense.
They're playing a winning brand of football against lesser teams.
That's true.
I understand, Scott. They got to play the schedule they've been given. That's not their problem. You got to still win those games. I get all that. Let's see.
You know,
when teams
go 13-3, you know how many bad teams they beat. It's a good teams beat who they're supposed to beat.
Yeah, but the Chargers. Let me jump in here for a sec. The Chargers and the Texans are both 9-3. The quality of the Chargers' wins, especially what they did in Pittsburgh, is far more impressive than what the Texans did, and I think that's why you're seeing people lean towards teams like that. In fact, I would argue, I tried to do this last week, that, and this is before everything that went down, the Chargers might be the most complete team in the AFC. Doesn't mean that the Texans don't have a chance, but the Chargers are extremely tough right now, and they seem to be getting better as the year goes on. So, Jim, they're the last team with something on the line today. They clinch a playoff berth with a win and a Miami loss. There's a bunch of other stuff that has to go on, but they have an opportunity to clinch today. And going on the road against Cincinnati, the Chargers are looking pretty darn good right now.
Yeah, you got to love this Chargers team. This is one of the teams I picked in the preseason to go to Super Bowl. Them against the Rams. So, actually liking my chances so far. Yeah, playing pretty well.
You want to know what my Super Bowl matchup was?
You know, I'm just hoping Rivers finally gets his. Tennessee.
It's amazing how the narrative changes in 1 week, but these are the Chargers. It's like 1 week they'll lose to the Broncos, and, you know, the next week they'll beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh. You know, they're very schizophrenic. I don't trust Phillip Rivers deep into the playoffs.
Phillip Rivers is the only quarterback in the league who's thrown multiple touchdowns every single game in the season.
Yeah, he's a great regular season quarterback.
Hey, look, the one difference with this season compared to other seasons is all the other seasons they got off to a slow start and battled back to try and get into the playoffs. This year they've been dominating from the get-go. So, you know, just different team.
I mean, they're
it's still
losses.
Regular season. Phillip Rivers has never won a big playoff game until otherwise proven.
Until he does it once. Everybody has to do it once.
And how long is his career and he hasn't done it once?
Okay, well, he hasn't. So you're just saying you're going to throw him out.
I'm not going to throw him out. All I'm saying is
Chargers.
No, what I'm saying is I'm not going to throw him out. I'm not saying the Chargers couldn't win the AFC. I'm just saying, you know, they're not my personal favorite to do it. You know, you're a guy who would rather have Phillip Rivers than Eli Manning, which baffles the crap out of me, when Eli Manning has had two great postseasons and Phillip Rivers has never won a big game in his life.
You know what I think they need help from, Jim? I think they need the Ravens to beat the Chiefs today and make that thing tight so that they're like neck and neck heading into these last 3 weeks.
That would make it real interesting, no doubt.
Yeah, I don't agree with Scott, but I don't know that I trust them to stay on the road and win these games. That's the only thing. And I know they don't have a home field advantage, quote unquote, but it does matter. It does matter if they have to get on a flight, go a couple thousand miles somewhere to go play. What they did against the Steelers obviously was really impressive. That had never been done against the Steelers in over 75 years. So clearly they did something unique. But can they do it again? They just proved to me that they can do it. I don't know that they can keep doing it into January and everything else. So we have a lot on the line with these games today. Obviously, you listening have a lot on the line. So we got all kinds of milestones. I got some trivia for these guys today. So we're going to have a lot of fun with it. I think we mentioned a couple of the really premium matchups. So I'll send the one over to you, Jim. Rams-Chicago. That's a really big one in the NFC. You got the Rams that are favored. Bears coming off a weird loss to the Giants, but a lot on the line for both teams, and Chicago really needs to kind of prove their worth today to some people.
Especially after losing the Giants. Totally agree with that. You know, it really comes down to this. They do get Trubisky back, which is definitely a big help. They need to establish themselves as a true force again. You know, the defense started out great, then slid a little bit. Now they're starting to get back into form again. We're seeing, you know, them come around. And, you know, meanwhile, the Rams defense is going the opposite way. Over the last 5 weeks, they're 32nd against opposing quarterbacks in points allowed, 31st against opposing wide receivers, 26th against opposing tight ends, 23rd against opposing running backs. So, you know, Chicago should be able to put up some offense here, especially at home. This could be a really interesting game. And, you know, the Rams, like you said, playing for that, you know, first-round bye is big. You love to have that first-round bye. It's going to be a really good game. And, you know, luckily it's a Sunday night game, so we all get to watch.
Yeah. Scotty, 30 seconds on one of the
Except
other games.
Except for those of us who are hosting.
Yeah, I was thinking that just as I was saying it, Scotty. I'm like, except us. Except
yeah,
us.
Except you and me, yeah. His voice is cracking. He's upset. Except us.
All right, so I'll list off real quick. You're headed into your playoff games with these guys out. Odell, A.J. Green, Melvin Gordon, James Conner, Kareem Hunt, obviously, Kerryon Johnson, Matt Breida, Emmanuel Sanders, Sammy Watkins, Cooper Kupp, Greg Olsen, Jack Doyle, and that's only a few. We'll list the rest on the other side of the break. It's FST Game Day Edition. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
We're back. FST. Talking about everything today to help you win these playoff matchups. And trust me, like, you're not alone. We got issues on our teams too. I was talking about that poor guy that lost, had Derrick Henry and Dede Westbrook going against him, but and losing Odell. But I can tell you, I'm in a league with Scott Engel, actually, and Scott got the bye. And he had a good season. I think he went 10-3 or something, Scott. Is that right?
Yeah, 10-3 in most points for the second year in a row.
And I was 10. I think I went 10-3 as well. I missed out most points at Scott by 9, and by 9 points total. I was in the lead the whole year, and I lost it in week 13. And I had a lot of success the first 7 weeks. I think I had the highest points for like
you were the best team in the league. Yeah.
Yeah, like I crushed it for the first 7 or 8 weeks. I was high score most weeks, and a lot of it was James Conner, but also my wide receiving core was Adam Thielen, AJ Green, Cooper Kupp, and Marvin Jones. So I just rattled off 4 of the 5 guys. Three of them are out for the year, and one of them isn't playing today. We may not see him for a couple of weeks in Connor. So I lose the bye. and I'm throwing out Jalen Samuels. And my other receiver, I saw, Jim, that Seth Not Roberts bad. Is, like, questionable. Like, I need Seth Roberts to play today. And if he doesn't, I got to throw Cordarrelle Patterson out there. So I get it. You know, you can only ride as
high. Yeah, we're not allowed to make any more moves in that league, yeah.
Right. So I totally understand what all of you are going through, and I'm frustrated as well. There's only so much you can do in those scenarios. I tried to back people up and do my best, but when you lose the firepower of some of those guys, you're going to take a beating. But I remember saying to you guys probably 6 weeks ago, like, am I wrong to be, like, cautious about this? And I wasn't celebrating or anything. I wasn't taking victory laps, but I was just worried the other shoe might
drop. Sounded like you were.
Well, in a couple of leagues, like, the other shoe dropped. You know, I'm toast. So good luck to Scott. I can't see a scenario in which I win that league anymore, but good luck to you. And we'll see. Hopefully, I just want to get. It would be very disappointing.
It happened to me a few years ago, too. I started off like gangbusters. Yeah. First year of the Greenwich Street Tavern League, I had injuries, and I collapsed.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been there, too.
So I just hope I get out of this week. There's something that'll be, even if I won't win a dime, there's something that'll be at least satisfying with getting to the semifinals in something like this, just so I can say, well, it's not a total season lost. I just got bounced in the semifinals, you know, like losing the bye and losing in the first round of the playoffs would be a bummer. So as we do every week, we will go to Scott's rankings. Well, before I do that, actually, I apologize. I didn't do this from the top, but I was rattling off a whole bunch of players that are not available today. So I want to continue because Jim gave me a more complete list. So I mentioned those guys right before the break, the Odells and the Connors and all that kind of stuff. Per Jim, these are some of the other guys that are also out. Pierre Garçon, Dontrelle Inman. And we mentioned these guys because they can be important when we're talking about the level of injuries that we're experiencing right now. Mo Alie-Cox, Colts tight end. DeSean Jackson is out. So Chris Godwin and Adam Humphries owners, just be on alert. Jonnu Smith was out. So Graham Gano, the kicker for the Carolina Panthers, is out today. They signed Chandler Catanzaro, so keep that in mind. You will have to make a kicker change if Graham Gano was your kicker. Cleveland cornerback Denzel Ward will be out. So be on alert if you have DJ Moore or conceivably Devin Funchess. And a big injury.
Well, DJ Moore, it affects Moore. He would have probably been on Moore most of this game.
I agree. And the last guy is Xavien Howard. Xavien Howard's numbers against opposing wide receivers for the last year and a half have been outstanding. So that is a big loss for Miami. And I would imagine, Jim, that this impacts Josh Gordon owners more than anybody else. Is that fair?
I agree with that as well. Yeah, I think Josh Gordon's in for a big game.
Questionable guys: Rashad Penny, Chad Williams, Seth Roberts, Matt Stafford, Bruce Ellington, Doug Martin, Danny Amendola, Josh Doxson. I think Amendola is not going to make it, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's what the last I heard too. It doesn't look good for him.
So that puts Devontae Parker and Kenny Stills in a better light.
I saw a report that he was going to play.
Oh, really? All right, so we'll get clarity on that.
You guys talk. Yeah.
Okay, we'll get clarity on that one. So game time decisions, true game time decisions. A tough one is at Doug Baldwin tomorrow night. Kiki Kuti, who's game time decision every week, and then T.Y. Hilton is a game time decision. So that could impact a lot in that game against the Texans, Scott.
Yeah, and we had Dr. A on Roto Experts in the morning like we do every Friday. And, you know, with Hilton, it's just like he's worried about his history of injuries. And if you have Hilton, he said he's worried about him getting re-injured again. You know, he just gets so banged up. If he plays, you have to start him. Yeah. You know, people would say, oh, unless there's reports of being on a snap count or being a decoy, you have to play the guy. You know, people will worry and say, well, what if he's on a snap count? What if he's a decoy? You can't worry about that unless that's actually reported.
True. Okay, so we'll get into the rankings right now. This is Scott's rankings. You find him in the exclusive Edge package on rotoexperts.com. He does these every week. And QBs, no surprise, Pat Mahomes comes out as number one. You know, he's got 40 touchdowns, 41 touchdowns on the season. He leads the NFL. He ranks second in the NFL in passing yards. So with 77 passing yards today, Scott, Mahomes would join Pro Football, two Pro Football Hall of Famers, as the only first or second year quarterbacks in NFL history to pass for at least 4,000 yards and 40 touchdowns in a single season. Which guys are those? It's your trivia question.
Yeah, those are Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, 2013 and 2007.
No. I think you got the wrong.
No.
You got the wrong question. So, first or second year quarterbacks.
Right answer, wrong question.
That's
yeah.
right. First or second year quarterbacks in NFL history to pass for at least 4,000 yards and 40 touchdowns in a single season. Jim, feel free to jump
Marino's
in.
Marino's got to be one of
them. That is one of them.
How about Kurt Warner?
Boom. Look at these guys. Once they understand the question, they get it right off the bat. So, yeah, Marino did it in 84. He had 5,000 yards and over 40 touchdowns. And Kurt Warner did it in 99. Marshall Faulk's teammate, actually. So he did it in 99.
Wasn't Marino's rookie year 83?
Well, the question was first or second year quarterback. So yes, you're right.
First
that
or
is his
second.
Rookie.
Okay, yeah.
His rookie quarterback rookie year was 83 because he was class of 83, but he did it in 84. So, so there you go. Mahomes with a lot of milestones on the line today. Drew Brees comes in at number two at Tampa, trying to exact revenge and trying to clinch a playoff berth. Ben Roethlisberger comes in at number three. I think there could be an assumption there, Jim, that with Connor out, people are trying to figure out Jalen Samuels, Stephen Ridley. I think one thing you could assume, however, is that the Raiders aren't any good against the pass. The Steelers might see an uptick in passing today. Trust Roethlisberger with the ball, maybe more than grinding it out with Samuels and Ridley. Is that fair?
Oh, I expect him to have a decent, pretty big game in this one. You know, Oakland's 27th over the last 5 weeks against opposing quarterbacks. You know, put up a decent first half against Kansas City that way, but then they just popped it off at the second half. So, I expect Roethlisberger, even with the, you know, on-the-road issues and having to travel all the way to the West Coast, I still think Ben has a big game here.
Continue.
Yeah, those home road splits have kind of been blown out of the water this year, too.
Yeah.
Until this year, it was very real. This year, he's playing a lot better on the road.
Yeah, and he's got to limit the interceptions. The only guy in the league with more interceptions than him is Sam Darnold, who is back today, by the way. Andrew Luck comes in at number four, Jameis at number five in what we expect to be a pretty up-tempo game. Phillip Rivers at six, the guy that Scott thinks can't win big games. Cam Newton at number seven, Deshaun Watson at eight. Mitch Trubisky back in the mix here, important note. That he's a guy that has been out, expected to play. I'll give you some game time decisions, but guys that are expected to play, Trubisky heads the list along with Isaiah Crowell, Chris Carson, Michael Gallup, Stephon Diggs, Jimmy Graham, Randall Cobb, Evan Ingram, and Julio Jones. So Mitch back in the mix here, Scott, and going up against the Rams. Obviously, we got the high profile game and everything, but going up, coming back against the Rams defense, that can pressure him. What are your thoughts? You still like him here, obviously, in your top 10.
Yeah, they'll pressure him, but he's mobile. Still Aaron Donald will get his, but the Rams are 21st against opposing quarterbacks, allowing 18.5 fantasy points per game. I might have him ranked a little higher, but Dr. Ray from Inside Injury says, you know, tempering your expectations a little bit. He's coming back a little bit early from the shoulder injury, but they really need this game. And, you know, it's hard to not rank Trubisky top 10 based on what he's done this year.
Next one is Aaron.
I just want to add one point. Can I add a quick point to that? The Rams defense, over the last five games, they're actually the worst team in the league against opposing quarterbacks, number 32nd. So they are definitely trending down, 31st over the last 5 weeks against opposing wide receivers as well.
Did they get one of the cornerbacks back today, though? I think that's interesting.
We'll find out for you. Yeah, keep going. Yeah,
Jim will look it up. So Aaron Rodgers comes in at number 10. In DFS, Aaron Rodgers, specifically on DraftKings, is only $6,000. So he has really been popping in a lot of the optimals on Daily Roto because you have Joe Philbin, who now steps in. It's been the coordinator, obviously. Joe Philbin steps in as the head coach. He's been a very, historically, an extremely pass-happy coach. While it didn't, the fruits of his labor didn't really bear out for the first 12 games this year, I get the sense maybe that with Atlanta coming into town, you got a clean slate. This could be an opportunity for Aaron Rodgers, Scott, to maybe have a signature Aaron Rodgers stat-filled game.
You know, it's worth taking a shot out of the tournaments more than, say, seasonal.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather use, say, Deshaun Watson in a seasonal, because some people – well, I don't think a lot of people actually have that sort of choice. I'd rather use Trubisky in a close call, for instance. But the Falcons are NFC worst, 22.3 fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks. You know, there's every reason to take a shot at it daily and run a stack with Devontae Adams maybe and Aaron Jones. And I think there's every reason to speculate that because, as Daily Roto points out, you know, the Dolphins never ranked better than 14th. Running the ball when Philbin was with Miami. You know, he likes to pass, and maybe they will open things up. But, you know, there's the other part of it, too. Other than Devontae Adams and Jimmy Graham, who's been very up and down and still playing with a cast, who does he have to go to? You know, that's the other problem there. So they can try to open things up, but do they really have the playmakers? It's a good matchup. So I think it's definitely worth it in a tournament DFS to run that Green Bay stack. I think Pittsburgh and Green Bay are my favorite stacks of the day. But in seasonal, in the playoffs, you know, you haven't seen it yet. You want to see it happen before you predict it'll happen. So there's a difference between how you employ it in seasonal and how you do it in DFS.
His opponent, Matt Ryan, will come in at number 11 in Scott's rankings. Jared Goff at 12. Russ Wilson at number 13. Lamar Jackson at number 14. He's got some DFS value again today as well, up against Kansas City. But Lamar Jackson, 3-0 in his three starts. Going for 4-0 in a very tough assignment. But obviously he's giving you a really good floor with his rushing stats, and Lamar Jackson right on the fringe of QB1 right now. So Kirk Cousins comes in at number 15. And then Baker Mayfield at number 16. He has thrown at least one touchdown pass in each of his first nine NFL starts, Jim. He'd become the third quarterback in the Super Bowl era to record at least one touchdown pass in each of his first 10 career starts. So your second trivia question here, let's see how you guys do. If he does it today, he'd be the third quarterback in Super Bowl era to record at least one touchdown pass in each of his first 10 career starts. Who are the other two?
Peyton Manning.
Neither of those guys are right.
No.
Russell Wilson.
Nope.
Man, I'm having a hard time with this.
You guessed one of them before.
It's probably
Dan Marino.
The other one. Kurt Warner did it in 1999.
Kurt Warner. Oh, okay. Yeah.
The other one is a lot harder.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna let you guys off the hook.
I'm drawing a blank, yeah.
How about Minnesota quarterback in 96-97? It's hard to even
Minnesota
remember that.
Quarterback in 96-97. Dante Culpepper?
No. Brad Johnson.
No, actually. Oh, my God. Yeah, I never would have guessed that in a million years.
That's a hard one. So Baker comes in at number 16. You know, obviously he's played pretty well here. I think Cleveland's got to feel good about where they're at. How about this game against Carolina, a team that is reeling about as much as anybody in the league? I'll throw Washington in there as well, but that's due to major injury issues. Going up against this Carolina team that's really kind of trying to save their season, Jim.
Hey, I love Cleveland in this matchup. I love Mayfield. I have him a lot higher than Scotty does this week. Look, the kid got off to a terrible start last week, three interceptions in the first half, and then came out in the second half and looked calm and cool and, you know, not what you expect from a rookie quarterback that threw three interceptions in the first half. Ended the game strong, almost threw for 400 yards. I love him in this matchup against the Carolina defense that's just reeling right now. Scott was talking about one of his favorite stacks. I love him. Love using the Cleveland stack this week, him and Landry, and then on the other side come back with McCaffrey. I've been trying to do that a lot. I love this matchup against his Carolina team this week. And one other guy I really want to talk about, you know, everybody's still loving on Lamar Jackson and his rushing. What happens if Kansas City gets up to a lead? If they get out to a lead, you know, I just don't think Lamar Jackson brings that much to the table at that point. He's not going to be able to throw enough to get them back in the game, in a game that they need to win to stay in the playoff hunt. Do you, either of you guys worry about Joe Flacco coming in at some point if they're playing from behind?
No, because it's not like Joe Flacco's built to, you know, pass a team into it. I think if Lamar they get behind, Lamar Jackson could be a combination of running and passing and give you some nice fantasy upside. I don't think they'll catch up enough, but I think you throw two touchdown passes and run from another. And to your point about Mayfield, it's not like don't like him. It's just, you know, quarterback is just so darn deep, you know, with 32 teams being there. The only thing I would probably disagree with you, but then again, it is daily, so maybe you could turn out right. But and I'm thinking this through as I speak about it, just like I'm not ready to plug in Jarvis Landry after one good game.
Jim, the only way I think the scenario you described is that if Jackson played poorly to get them there, like three picks in the first half, and then they need somebody stable to come in there. But if it's just that the defense is giving up touchdowns, I think Lamar will get an opportunity to bring them back into it. I'd side more with Scott than that, but I understand what you're saying. Tom Brady going for a touchdown today. He had the most touchdown passes in NFL history. Scott has him ranked 19th going up against the Miami defense. So we'll come back. We'll do running backs, maybe put a bow on the QBs and do the running backs after the break. It's Mike, Scott, and Jim on FST.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
It's a great song to get us pumped up on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, it is.
Great job, Sean eBay.
You know what's also great is BetDSI. You can capitalize on all the on-field action at BetDSI with a user-friendly mobile site, web interface, and the fastest payouts in the industry. So from the upcoming NFL games today to college football bowl games, which are upon us next week, to the next big soccer match, which I actually watched a little bit of soccer yesterday. I don't get an opportunity to do it much anymore, but my team, Chelsea, beat Manchester City. Huge win.
I couldn't watch any soccer yesterday. I was too busy watching the curling world championships.
Well, I can't say that that's not at least a little interesting. But anyway, they have wagering options for all these sports, Jim. Great transition. Any sport you can think of. So you can even wager on esports, politics, and reality TV. Dane Martinez tells me some guy, Nick, is going to win Survivor, so I have to trust him. Although, based on his fantasy football picks, maybe I shouldn't trust him. I'm just kidding, Dane. Anyway, get an edge and utilize live betting at BetDSI, where you can wager virtually anytime during a contest so you capitalize on in-game circumstances. I know our friend Mike Cardano is a big fan of the in-game wagering. So utilize your DFS skills without the constraints of salary caps and wager on player props. We're going to be doing a lot of player props today. I skipped them on QBs, but we'll get to them in a minute. There are just a lot of ways to make money. Use the promo code FNTSY101 when signing up and get a 100% deposit bonus deposit match. And then once you've opened up your account, go to DailyRoto.com and click on Contact Us to send us your BetDSI username. Once you do that, we'll give you 1 month of Daily Roto access totally free. So that's access to all sports tools and optimizers. Head on over and open your account at BetDSI today to win on so many levels. Promo code FNTSY101 to get your 100% bonus deposit match and 1 month free to DailyRoto.com. I want to describe that very quickly one more time. Promo code FNTSY101. On BetDSI, you get the 100% bonus deposit match. Then take that username, contact us on DailyRoto.com, send it over. We'll give you 1 month free of DailyRoto.com, which I talk about all the time. Is one of the best sites so there you go.
Wow, what a great deal!
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. All right, so Jim, you had a question about Josh Allen.
I do. I do. You know, everybody's still talking about Lamar Jackson, his rushing ability, yada, yada, yada. Still, nobody's talking about Josh Allen. Two great rushing weeks, got his name right up there. Actually, the last 2 weeks, he's been the number one quarterback in both weeks for fantasy. Nobody's still talking about Josh Allen. Everybody still has him low on the list against a team that he should be able to run against today with the Jets because, you know, let's face it, the Jets are going to blitz him out crazy. They always do. And he's going to be able to escape those a lot of those blitzes and run for yardage. I love Josh Allen this week. I actually like him more than I like Lamar Jackson because, on top of it, he could throw better.
I have three spots in my lineup ranks, actually behind Jackson. So they're pretty close for me. You know, you got to give the guy credit. 234 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown the last two games. But I think I kind of disagree with how they're going to attack him. You know, after seeing on film the last 2 weeks, I think they're going to have to play more containment. Well, Lamar Jackson, you know what's coming and you can't stop it. Now that he's done it for 2 weeks, I want to see what can happen now that defenses know that Josh Allen can do this. You know, can they contain him more? So I'm a little, just a tiny little bit more skeptical on him than I am on Lamar Jackson.
Well, here, let me throw this at you real quick. Over the season, Josh Allen has had three top five fantasy games. Okay? Aaron Rodgers has only had three. Ben Roethlisberger's only had two. Tom Brady's only had one. Phillip Rivers has only had one. Matt Stafford hasn't had any. He's had three. Nobody's talking about him. I don't get it.
No,
it's a good point. Yeah. You know, it's just
my
lineup.
He hasn't even played the whole year.
You know, there are 16 guys I like better than
he
him.
He missed. The thing
with Josh Allen is, though, I think that there really isn't a perceptible floor there that people worry that he could turn around and have a really bad game.
I don't see it happening today, though. I mean, just me personally.
Me either. I really don't.
Yeah,
you're talking about a Jets team that's on a 6-loss. You know, streak here. They're just not playing good football.
And Josh has only started seven games.
I like him as a daily play, but who would you stack him with?
Oh, I wouldn't stack him with anybody on that team. Maybe McCoy. Maybe I'd take the shot.
Zay Jones, if anybody.
Zay Jones is actually an interesting punt play today. But to Jim's point about the rushing yards, you don't need to stack him if you were going to throw him in it because he's providing his own floor. You could just get some salary relief and run it, as they like to say at Daily Roto, Naked Allen. You know, they used to talk about
naked
Joe Flacco or naked Russell Wilson. You can, and DFS, you could do naked Josh Allen because he's
I'm never going to get that picture out of my head now.
Yeah, well, sorry. Yeah, I do what I do. So, all right. So going over to really quickly on the player props, QB rushing. How about this? Lamar Jackson's an 83.5. Gee whiz. That's really high. I wouldn't do that.
I'll go over.
That's the only chance they're going to have to win is if he can get going on the ground. Let's face it. He's not going to do it through the air. I don't care who he's playing.
Josh Allen
at home is a much different defense than they are on the road.
And Josh Allen's only 38.5? That's amazing.
Again, that's my best bet of the week. I can't see him not going over 38.5.
I'm with you.
This is a bet I pretty much guarantee is a loser. But then again, every time I think that, then my other side is thinking, what does Vegas know that we don't?
Yeah, like what are the Jets' stats?
Pick such a low number.
Containing QB rushing. I don't even know. All right.
I think the perception of Josh Allen is that, you know, it's more than like – people expect it from Lamar Jackson. I think people are like, in general, and I'm not saying whether it's right, Jim, that they view it more as an anomaly, not something they can trust with Josh Allen on a regular basis.
And I get that. I do have some concern that if he doesn't rush that much, then, of course, you're not getting the numbers you want. But the way the offense has been moving the last 2 weeks, the fact that they discarded Benjamin and Holmes, you know, and now you're looking at Robert Foster and Zay Jones as your top two wide receivers. I just think it's really going to come into play. And not only that, with him rushing, it's actually opening it up a little bit for McCoy as well. I don't see them getting away from that formula that seems to be working right now when, you know, they are on the outside, but they are still looking at a possible, you know, playoff race here after the way they got started. I don't know. I think this is two teams going in different directions, and I think Buffalo stomps on the Jets again.
All right, I'll give you one. I'll give you one more a QB player prop because we got to do running backs. I'm going to do a fun one here. Mark Sanchez, 177.5, Scotty. What do you say?
Under.
All right. I had
rolling the Giants defense again this week.
I love you, Sanchez.
Okay. Wait. I do have to ask you. You know, he's known for the butt fumble, of course. Yeah. But did you see the play last week where he actually made the butt fumble recovery?
I must have missed that.
Yeah, ball was flopping around. He had his back to it, and the ball was basically against his butt. He reached his hand back and pushed it up against his butt and got the fumble.
Redemption.
So he's had
sweet,
both. Yeah,
sweet
had both.
Redemption for Mark Sanchez.
Sweet butt redemption.
So, all right, I'm not going to touch that one.
I was laughing my ass off when that happened.
All right, so running backs. We're going to start it off with Todd Gurley. He comes in at number one at Chicago. Chris McCaffrey, whose numbers have just been filthy the last couple of weeks. He's really like he's making a push to be the top running back in fantasy football if he gets on a little bit of a playoff run here for everybody. The last 2 weeks have been incredible.
One quick point. Since week six, he is actually the NFL's top reception leader. 56 receptions since week six.
Crazy. He's been awesome, no doubt about it. So Saquon Barkley comes in at number three, Zeke Elliott at four, Alvin Kamara at five, Nick Chubb at six, Philip Lindsay at seven, Fournette at eight. That ain't going to happen. James White at nine, Joe Mixon at 10. I saw a stat yesterday, guys. There are two running backs with over 900 yards that have not fumbled this year. Which two guys is it? I just named both of them in that top 10.
Philip Lindsay. I don't think Correct. He's fumbled. Who else hasn't fumbled?
Saquon Barkley.
Boom. Look at you guys on fire. Oh, that's both of them. Yeah, cool. So,
yeah.
I mean, I did give you a little bit of a limited thing here, but there's also only five guys with over 900 yards. So, how tough was it? Anyway, you got it right. So, I give you credit. So, yeah, those two guys over 900 yards have
well,
not
thanks
fumbled.
Thanks for
yet.
That.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I say, nice job. I mean, you guys gotten two of the questions so far. That Brad Johnson question.
Yeah, but then you told it down. Oh, yeah. Well, we only gave you a limited list.
Philip Lindsay, the greatest undrafted running back of. If we've ever seen.
You know what's crazy?
Yeah, really. I'll tell you what. It's crazy.
So in the one league where I didn't get James Conner, I've been kicking myself because I talked about it a lot in August, and I strategized in every league and went out and got him. The one league where I didn't get him, I picked up Philip Lindsay after week one, and it's a keeper league.
Nice.
And I'll get him.
There you go. Beautiful.
I'll get him in round 13 next year because of that.
Sweet.
How crazy is that? I was kicking myself over the Connor thing, almost not realizing for a while that I had Lindsay there that I could have for years to come. He's, as Scott said, he's just been unbelievable, and he's going to, he should top 1,000 yards by the end of the day today going up against the Niners. So David Johnson comes in at number 11, Aaron Jones at 12, Lamar Miller at 13, Gus Edwards at 14. You have Jalen Samuels there at 15, Michelle at 16, Tariq Cohen at 17, lower than I would have expected, Eckler at 18, Dalvin Cook at 19, Spencer Ware at 20. I'll stop it there because there's a whole bunch of names in here which are guys that we're needing to use because of the time of year it is and who we've lost. So I'll pose it to you first, Jim. Jalen Samuels, Stephen Ridley, how worried are you about them sharing the ball?
Oh, very. I definitely think they're going to share the ball. I think, you know, at the very least, Ridley's probably going to take the goal line carries, and he probably will take some early down work from Samuel. I still like Samuel more in PPR leagues. No doubt he should, you know, catch quite a few passes.
We are doing PPR rankings. But, I should note that.
Yeah, right. So I do like him that way. And, of course, if you're in a Yahoo league and can use him at tight end, you know, unless you have one of the top four, you pretty much want to jump all over that. You know, there is some concern with Ridley there. But, you know, he should still have a really solid game. But I am concerned.
Scott, I made a huge mistake last week. It was in part because we had a little bit of a snafu here in studio. And as I was going through my lineups, I neglected to put Tariq Cohen in for Sony Michel. It cost me a game and first place and a bye. You have them ranked right next to one another. What are your sort of outlooks for those two guys today? Michel going up against Miami, Cohen against the Rams. You love Tariq Cohen. You have him a little bit lower today than you normally have him on a week-to-week basis.
Well, the Dolphins are just really, really bad against opposing running backs. You know, they actually rank 26, and they look worse. 27.9 fantasy points per game allowed to opposing running backs. So I think even if Sony Michel shares some carries there, that, you know, he could still get in the end zone once or twice and still get to 100 yards. You know, how much is he really going to share? James White is in the passing game. Rex Burkhead did get 7 carries last week, but, you know, maybe that just helps. That just helps Michel stay fresh, but he still gets 15 to 16 carries. I think he can make the most of those. So I'm not really concerned about him. I think he's a good play today. As far as Tariq Cohen, you know, look, Dane says, why don't you have him higher? The only thing with Tariq Cohen is the ceiling is very high, but there's no floor there. And, you know, that's what I get concerned about with Tariq Cohen. If I knew he had a floor, he'd rank sure for higher, sure. And the thing with Jalen Samuels, why I have him is where he is, I'm not believing all this Stephen Ridley talk. To me, Stephen Ridley is there as insurance, veteran insurance, in case Samuels doesn't play well. But this is Stephen Ridley we're talking about. This guy is a mediocre journeyman. You know, I can't see him siphoning more than like 6 carries, if that. It's Stephen Ridley. It's like, I'm not picking him up in any leagues. I'm not wasting my time. To me, it's Jalen Samuels. This is Stephen Ridley we're talking about.
As a resident Steelers fan.
Yeah, it's kind of what we all thought about. That's what we all kind of thought about Ware last week.
That's not what I
I'm just saying, everybody thought Ware was going to be, you know, top 12, top 15 running back last week because he was going to step right in for Hunt, and we didn't see that. We saw Damian Williams get involved. We saw Darren Williams get involved. Now they picked up Sharkhandrick West to throw another body in. I'm just saying, you know, part of that's got to be on your mind, that what if, and I have a little bit of that what if. I'm not saying Ridley is a great guy, not a guy I would start in any way, shape, or form. All I'm saying is I am a little concerned.
I'm not worried about what if when it comes to Stephen Ridley. And I think Spencer Ware was overrated. You know, he had a few good games in 2015.
Well, you weren't here to tell us that this last week, so we didn't know that.
Okay, so I'm clarifying it, that I'm the one exception.
Well, see, then it was your fault you weren't here.
Well, Corey was on that train with me, too, before Kareem Hunt blew up. We both didn't like Spencer Ware. He's not that talented. You know, he surprised people for a little while in 2015. But in 2016, he said he's mediocre. He showed he's mediocre. I think Jalen Samuels probably more talented than Spencer Ware.
All right, let's squeeze in a couple of prop bets here before the end of it. That's a high total for Aaron Jones, 91.5. He saved people with a touchdown last week, but Aaron Jones at 91.5 over under. I'm leaning under there.
I'm going to go the opposite way. I think he goes over. Look, just when we were starting to believe that he was going to be the main guy, all of a sudden last week McCarthy has him splitting carries again with Jonathan Williams, which made absolutely no sense. Just when Jones was getting going and really digging into that offense, and, you know, that just didn't make any sense at all. I think they go back to Jones this week heavily and get him really involved. I think he has a good chance to go over.
Jamal Williams, to clarify.
The Falcons allow an NFC high 31.3 fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. But whether it's Philbin or anybody else, you always have to be concerned that this becomes a pass-first team. You always have to be concerned about the volume
team.
Here. Yeah, especially historically with Aaron Rodgers, they've always been a pass-first team, and you have a pass-first coach. So that's what makes this prop very tough.
I'll do another one here. Zeke Elliott combined, rushing and receiving, 108.5, Scott.
I think he easily goes over that. The Eagles are just – they're so depleted on defense, I think – and, they're more against the pass, against the run, but they're not great against the one run. They're middle of the pack, 15th against the opposing running backs, 24.3 points per game. But I think Ezekiel Elliott, he's going to control this game. And by the way, For those of you saying the Texans didn't beat anybody, they beat these Dallas Cowboys that everybody's talking about.
Yeah, when Dallas Cowboys weren't playing very good football. Different team.
They beat Tennessee, right, too.
Coming back for hour number two after this. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's FST. We'll be right back.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.